We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Ilya Shapiro is back with us this afternoon. He is the director of constitutional studies now at the Manhattan Institute. You might remember his story kind of was run out of Georgetown law. Now a story about Clarence Thomas from the Supreme Court, who's been sort of ousted at George Washington University. Ilya, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
I am doing great. And just to be clear, I left Georgetown on my own terms and I'm shining a spotlight on the rot in academia. And I'm fortunate that Justice Thomas felt that it wasn't worth the bother to have protesters and whatnot, although the GW administrators were a little better than Georgetown. They told the mob to stand down, and we're still going to have Justice Thomas. But the end result, you're right, is the same. We're both not there.
Well, give a little background here of what happened to Justice Thomas, because I feel like this is an undercovered story right now that a lot of people don't know about this.
So he'd been teaching at George Washington University Law School, which is in D.C. I think the moral of the story is stay away from schools named with the name George within D.C. You can cross the river and go to George Mason Scalia Law. Lots of justices and others teach there, but within D.C. So anyway, he'd been teaching for over a decade this class on the Supreme Court on constitutional law with his former clerk, Greg Maggs, who's now on the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces, a former GW, I think, dean, actually. But anyway, this summer, after the decision in Dobbs, the decision that overturned Roe v. Wade, there were some protests. There was a petition to remove Justice Thomas, if you can imagine. That petition was denied. The administrators said he, like all other faculty members, enjoyed the freedom of speech and academic freedom, and neither he nor any other faculty member speaks for GW as a whole, but, you know, he can go on and teach. And then he just a week later just withdrew without any comment. Presumably it's because he would have required more security. He didn't really want to deal with having to brave protesters and all of that. And I can't blame him. But that's the last straw. And by the way, he has been teaching as well, as I said, at George Mason without incident also for, you know, that length of time.
So this is so sad in many ways. The the loss of his legal mind, whether you agree with him or not, but mainly for free speech. And this is happening, and you know this better than anyone. It's happening more and more often. But for these administrators to keep caving.
I mean, if he were on the left, this would be seen as a great example of racism.
Yes.
He was run out because,
yes,
you know, all that. It's such a double standard. It's such a shame. It really points to how academia no longer stands for the free exchange of ideas. And this is different, not in the sense of the decades-old complaint that there are too many liberals in academia. I don't think the ratios ideologically have shifted much, if at all, since when I was in college 25 years ago or law school 20 years ago. What's changed is now the bureaucratic bloat and pushing the university, the culture at these places to the left, and narrowing the Overton window of permissible policy expression in such a way that really chills the campus culture.
Isn't it incumbent upon other people who are professors to start speaking out about this? Now, I guess there's two things about that. They don't want to, you know, get chased down by the mob, but I also wonder if they're on our side of this, Ilya, or if they really believe that this stuff should happen. And that the latter scenario tends to be where I would come down, because why are people not outraged by this?
You know, it's not that deans and administrators are woke radicals, or most of the faculty for that matter, but they're spineless cowards. And they seek the path of least resistance. And so they allow this to happen. And it's, you know, again, you talk about double standards. The same week it was announced that Justice Breyer, who just retired from the court, you know, he's on the left of the court, will be teaching a class at Harvard. And fantastic. I would love to take that class if I were a Harvard law student, but it's you know, other faculty members just, you know, I think they're afraid of the illiberal mob, and they'd rather just keep their head down.
You know, I see this more and more, and I think we've had this happen in society since Trump more and more often, but I'm seeing, even amongst friends of mine, more people telling me that they have not had any contact with someone for 2 years because they supported Trump, or, you know, vice versa. And this just trickles down from the top with academia, and people can't have conversations. So now we're at the point where people on the left decide, if you support this issue or you don't support this issue, I don't want anything to do with you. You can't even be my friend, let alone your professor.
Yeah, this, you know, personal and professional cancellation, it's, you know, I'm quite pessimistic about academia. I see green shoots in society writ large. I'm, as Justice Kavanaugh put it, on the sunnier side of the sunrise side of the mountain with respect to America, as normal people observe some of the inanities and call out the emperor for having no clothes. But academia, I think, may have passed the point of no return.
Sadly, I think it has. You know, I've been somewhat encouraged because I did see some people, even in the aftermath of your situation, write some op-eds and speak out against some of this. I've seen some people just addressing the gender nonsense that's going on out there. But most of the people who write columns like that or take positions are either outgoing or they don't have anything to lose. And again, I understand that from a personal perspective. You go out on the limb and you start taking, you know, chances on those horrifying issues like gender, and you're apt to be canceled, Ilya, unfortunately.
That's right. But the thing, what I realized from my situation, again, being so-called investigated for a politically incorrect tweet and all of that, is that you can't really be canceled if you refuse to be canceled. That is, if you have any sort of public platform, you know, I kept writing, I kept speaking, I would not go down. And then ultimately I forced the university to reinstate me, but on such terms that it was ridiculous. And then I resigned and turned it over onto them. So, you know, people in professions where you're able to publish op-eds and, you know, go on talk radio or whatever, you know, we have a responsibility to call that out. The real concern is kind of average people who are doxxed and fired and boycotted, or in Canada, as happened last winter during some protests, frozen out of their bank accounts. And those are some really chilling issues. But I think the tide may be turning in that respect. But again, in academia, it seems so simple. The deans that impose this culture of DEI, the Orwellian diversity that's against intellectual diversity, or equity that's against equal opportunity, or inclusion that excludes those who diverge from progressive orthodoxy. Any administrators who just said, you know, cut it out. Let's just debate. If you don't like speech,
right,
don't have counter speech.
Right.
But there's so few of those. So, you know, I think that's why there's disruption from these alternative modes of communication. And I'm just fortunate that my kids are young enough. They're 4 and 6. I don't have to send them to college anytime soon. Hopefully they'll be better options in 10 years.
Ilya Shapiro is here, the Director of Constitutional Studies now at the Manhattan Institute. One just issue-related question. After Election Day, what did you think about the results in Kansas on the pro-life versus pro-choice issue?
Too soon to tell, in the sense that the ballot measure was convoluted. It was the first vote since Dobbs, since the Supreme Court ruling. It was responding to a state Supreme Court ruling, not a state measure itself. And generally people look at ballot measures differently than they do a general election. So I don't know if this is going to be a bellwether going forward, but, you know, most people don't like either the extremes of the pro-life or the pro-choice position. They're not, you know, ban all abortions with no exceptions, nor abortion should be freely available through birth. And the extent to which either party is able to have some more nuance there, I think they're going to be able to get those swing voters.
Ilya, always great to have you on here on 97.1 FM Talk. We really appreciate it. It is sad what's happened to the, you know, the cancel culture with academia, and I hope it turns around soon, but we'll keep track of it. You have a great week. Thank you.
You too. Take care, and I'll just announce I have a new Substack since I last talked to you, Shapiro's Gavel, where I'll put stuff that doesn't necessarily make the Wall Street Journal.
I love that. That's great. So tell folks where they can find that.
Yeah, if you go to Substack, which are digital newsletters, there's a free component, there's a paid component, and my Substack, my newsletter, is called Shapiro's Gavel.
Great. Something else I need to subscribe to. Thank you for that. Well, kidding,
thanks,
obviously.
Grandma.
Thank you. See you, Ilya.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.